This is A State of Energy. I'm Rand DeWitt, along with the birthday boy, Mr. Tom Clark, executive director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing good.
All kinds of love?
You know what? the best part about a birthday on when you're in the propane industry is, you know, you get like all these people that you don't even really know saying happy birthday. It's kind of like you know, you open your Facebook up and there's like people that you knew 30 years ago.
Yeah.
People that you've never even met before. They're just like, hey, happy birthday.
Lonely people that you went to high school with.
Yeah. How awesome is that though? You know, it makes me feel good for a day.
Well, good, good. I mean, I'd do a happy birthday, Mr. Executive Director. Actually, you know what?
No, that was terrible.
Actually, I was thinking about Marilyn. There's actually a documentary, the new one on her on Netflix, and it's sad, man. They got a bunch of audio recordings of people. Oh, the entire Hollywood was just filled with Harvey Weinsteins back then. Let's put it that way.
Wow. Wow.
Anyway.
You know what was is close to my birthday though that we missed?
Arbor Day?
World Propane Day.
Oh, well, yeah. That's why. Isn't that why you were in D.C.?
Well, kind of, but kind of. This is a worldwide celebration of propane because there's hundreds of millions of people that use propane and depend on it for over 1,000 different uses.
Well, yeah.
So how cool is that? Huh?
That's very cool. That's very cool. And you know what else is cool is the people at Mopica. Mopica products, because they're helping World Propane Day get even better each year. Because Mopica is the global leader in sonar tank monitoring solutions with a portfolio of award-winning and patented sonar, mobile, and cloud-based services and solutions that can help all liquid-based firms, including propane, butane, water, and other liquid commodities, better manage existing volumes and streamline supply chain management. Mopica provides solutions for both pressurized and non-pressurized tanks, ranging from residential 20-pound grills and RV tanks right through to industrial tanks greater than 90,000 gallons. At Mopica, it's accuracy above everything. Go to Mopica.com, Mopeka.com.
That sounded like a commercial.
It was. What did you want me to do? I mean, they're our sponsor. They're our partner now. We've got to be very clear about our appreciation for El Jefe.
The cool part about this is, you know, last time we were talking to them, and we said, hey, if you have a Mopica gauge, like post it on our Instagram or do something like that, right? You would never believe who texted me a picture of their Mopica screenshot of their app on their phone and said, hey, I've had this thing for a year. No, my own dad.
What?
My own dad's like, hey, you know, like out of all the fans that we have, he's like, hey, here's my, I have one of these on the RV that I use everyone. Of course, he's in the propane industry and his tanks are always empty. And I'm like, Dad, your tanks are empty. You need to go get those filled up.
That's very cool. That's very cool, Mr. Clark. And by the way, he raised a great family.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted you to know. I mean, I'm sure your mom had something to do with that as well, but we're talking about your dad today.
That's right.
And also, folks, you can go to thestateofenergy.com, find out where you can buy propane near you, listen to our past shows going back years that can show how right we were years ago about where we are now, rebates. You can also go to Instagram at The State of Energy, where you can see Tom receiving an award at Propane Days in D.C. Mr. Tommy the Battle Cat was recognized by the National Propane Gas Association for his dedication and leadership in the propane industry, and that's very cool.
Wow, thank you for that. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. You know, Propane Days is a really fun event. We fly out to Washington, D.C. with a whole bunch of propane industry guys and just kind of go around and talk to legislative leaders about propane's uses around the country and try to keep propane relevant. And we got to do a lot of cool things. The trip started out kind of odd though. You know, we're flying.
What happened? Were they out of Fresca?
They were out of Fresca. They still haven't brought Fresca back. We got to get a shout out to Delta. Bring back the Fresca, Delta. Come on. But I'm on this airplane, and halfway through the flight, it's like a 4.5-hour flight from Salt Lake City to D.C. And all of a sudden, mm-hmm. this dog underneath my seat just starts barking, like going crazy. Like, I'm like, what in the world is, I had no idea the dog was even under the seat. And it's just freaking out. It was the only time I've ever seen a dog just start barking like crazy on an airplane.
Well, what was the deal? What happened? Did you drop some jerky or something?
I think he was asleep and woke up and it's like, where the hell am I? I'm on an airplane now. So anyway, but we get to DC. That was the beginning of this. And we go out and we start visiting some congressmen, senators, and we walked into a lot of offices like without even an appointment. We just walk in. It's like, hey, we're here. Most of the time, there was like some type of gatekeeper there at the congressional offices, you know, and so you really couldn't talk to anybody. They're just like, oh, who are you? Or just to kind of tell them who we are. And maybe you would get a chance to speak to an energy advisor or somebody like that. But here we walk into Mike Simpson's office. He's the congressman from Idaho. And there he is, just sitting in his own office lobby, just chilling with his staffers, chit-chatting. And it totally threw me off because normally you walk in and be like, hey, you know, we're with the propane industry. We just want to talk about energy or whatever.
Do you have an appointment?
Yeah, exactly. And there he is. And you could tell he was in the middle of a conversation and the room goes silent. And I was like, I look over at him. He looks at me. And I'm like, what am I supposed to say now? Like, I got the congressman's
attention.
Yeah, I got his attention. And he knows me because we had a site visit up in Idaho where he came and checked out the propane facility. And so he kind of looks at me like, do I know you? And I'm looking at him like, do I know you? You know, one of those moments. And I'm like, yeah, we're just here to talk to the congressman. Hey, sir. And I just kind of go into it. And he's like, have a seat. And he sits down. We talk for like 30 minutes and the first thing out of his mouth is, did you fly here on your electric airplane?
No, he didn't.
Yes, I swear he did. Cause they know deep down inside, they all know that electrifying everything and taking our gas and energy choices away is just not, it's not realistic. And as soon as you take all the fuels away and you're trying to electrify everything, there's not going to be any jet fuel. And we're not flying to DC in an electric airplane. That's just never going to happen. No. So it was pretty interesting to see how much in informed and in tune these guys are with reality. Although there's not a whole lot that they can do about it, which was kind of a bummer, because they're like, yeah, we know everything you're saying is we already know about all that, but it just, their hands are tied. So it was an interesting trip that was pretty productive. And if you ever get out to DC, you know, it's open now and there's lots of cool things to see, and you can walk right in and talk to your representatives without even an appointment.
Did you invite the congressman on the show?
No, I never did get an opportunity to do that. I should, huh?
Yeah. And actually, well, also Congressman Blake Moore, we got to get him on here, because I think I saw a picture of you and Congressman Moore and President and the first gentleman of the propane industry.
That's right. Yeah, we did get to see a lot of different representatives, and Moore was one of them. And he's a great guy too. There's a lot of stuff going on in DC, and it's open again. I mean, it was closed for how many years? 3 years for COVID, and
3 years.
And now they're back open, and you know, it just feels like things are moving again. So it was a good trip.
That's really awesome. I'm glad you had a good time. And then, we actually should be just walking around with a microphone, walking into these places, and we could just interview people on the spot.
There was quite a, you know, there's a lot of media there all set up. I don't think we would get the warm welcome if we walked in with a microphone, though.
Probably not. But, well, that's really cool, Tom. We'll put some more pictures of Mr. Tom Goes to DC up on our Instagram page. But there's one up there right now that's getting a lot of love, and it's one of you getting your award.
Nice.
So congratulations on that. And, folks, I guess we're going to dive in right now to a CNBC story. saying the world energy system is no longer fit for purpose. And this is according to World Energy Council CEO Angela Wilkinson, who alluded to lackluster momentum toward a planned green energy transition. She said the most recent pulse from April shows that the world energy system is no longer fit for purpose. And she told CNBC's Squawk Box Asia this. In reference to the findings from her organization's Energy Pulse reports, which offer snapshots of trends across the energy ecosystem, the council's most recent report forecasts that around half of the global energy system will still not be electrified by 2050.
Wow.
Which would mark quite the blow to many governments' net zero pledges. And I know California thinks that they're their own, you know, world government, but that Newsom, this is not going to happen. And again, we have to say this. We are not anti-electric. We're not anti-hydro. We're not anti-solar or wind. We are just an all of the above best options, and we think propane can have a much larger seat at the table.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be our opening statement every time we start this show.
Yes.
We know how much we need electricity. We love electricity. We need it. We're using it right now. We use it. Everybody uses it. We know everybody relies on electricity. What's interesting, though, is this push to electrify everything. There's already over 10% of the world doesn't even have electricity. There's 770 billion people around the world that don't have electricity. So what do you think that those guys are using to cook and heat the hot water and heat their homes?
Well, I'm going to go with dung.
Yeah.
Haven't we talked about this before? Dung and wood, which, I mean, all the pollutants go up into the air when you're burning that stuff.
And they already have access to clean energy such as propane around the world. Mm-hmm. So propane is here helping those communities and those countries that don't have access to electricity. They have access to propane, and it's really giving them that opportunity to develop as a third world country. So as the rest of the world pushes to electrify everything, we have this 10% that don't even have electricity. So it's pretty interesting to watch the world try to transition into clean energy and not even have access to electricity in the first place. Now, you got to take into consideration what is clean energy, because a lot of people think that electricity is just a zero emissions energy.
Wrong.
And in reality, electricity is not all that clean. And there's a lot of agencies around the world, even in this country, that know that electricity is not that clean. And so as the world is trying to develop into an all electric clean energy, we also need to make this clean electricity, which is really, really hard to do because we need coal and natural gas to make electricity.
What? So, yeah. Coal? You don't say.
So if you take this into a worldwide perspective, we got the US here trying to clean up our electricity, force everybody to use it, but yet the rest of the world is still suffering. They're not gonna meet these world requirements that we've put this burden onto the United States to try to be the leader. So now we're gonna squeeze everybody here in the States even more and more and more as we push the electricity costs through the roof to try to clean them up, when yet the rest of the world isn't even gonna hit this they're not even gonna hit 50% by 2050.
And if you just take this moment and what we're talking about right now about being, you know, the best available options type of approach as we should have for our energy policy, can you imagine if we put as much energy behind propane, as much energy and dollars behind propane as we have been with electricity? If we just took half or a quarter of what we've been spending on electricity and using that to help promote propane, we would be cleaner today.
Yeah.
And have more money in our pockets today.
Yeah, that's a good point, and especially if you take something like the EPA Good Neighbor Plan. And I don't think we really see this much on the news at all, because this EPA Good Neighbor Plan, basically what it's saying is Electricity is dirty, and we want you to clean up your emissions from the electric producers by X amount of years. And this is going to take up to $200 billion to clean up the electricity.
Doesn't it always feel like everything with electricity and energy in general and the high prices, doesn't it feel like China's evil hand is kind of like forcing us in directions? It just feels like that.
It's pretty wild to think that some of the renewable electricity, like solar and wind, a lot of those products come from China. So
it's true.
You've seen this article about Ford trying to produce some. Well, they're going to build a new battery factory, but who actually owns this?
Yeah, I got the story out of Bloomberg. America's long tortured journey to build EV batteries. The fall of startup A123 still haunts the U.S. decades after its collapse and reveals everything that's wrong with this country's approach to innovation. On a 3-mile stretch of farmland in southwest Michigan, Ford Motor Company is building a battery factory. The technology Ford needs to make cheap, stable batteries to power electric vehicles will come from China's contemporary Amperex Technology Company, the world's biggest battery manufacturer. I mean, think about this. Ford's deal with the Chinese giant is a coup for the state. It's getting $3.5 billion investment in a 2.5 million square foot factory, thousands of new jobs, and the ability to produce enough batteries annually to power 400,000 electric vehicles when the plant opens in 2026. But for anyone who's been paying attention, it's a devastating moment of irony for the U.S. because the deal could have been the other way around. But again, China's playing three-dimensional chess and we're playing chutes and ladders.
I love Ford. I'm a Ford guy. I got lots of Ford vehicles. The craziest part about this is this company that was a U.S. company to begin with. It was called A123, and this was back in the early 2000s. They received billions of dollars, and they went bankrupt because there wasn't enough demand for the batteries back then. And which company bought them out of bankruptcy? The largest auto parts company in China bought them out of bankruptcy. So now our big battery factory that we're going to use to power up these cars is going to be directly benefiting China.
Yeah, and granted, that money we just talked about for Michigan sounds like a lot of money, but it's a drop in the barrel in the overall big picture of things. And that's just it. When things don't make sense, you got to follow the money. And I don't know, in my perspective, every time we do this, it leads right back to China.
And that's why we keep coming back to saying, why does propane make sense? One, we don't have to use billions of dollars worth of taxpayer incentives to get this clean energy out there. We already have the infrastructure for propane.
Yes.
We already have the distribution. We already have the equipment to use it. We already have the employees. We have the storage. We have the production. This whole thing is already in place. We don't need a whole bunch of taxpayer money to try to for an experiment. We don't need it. We already have it, and it's already cleaner than electricity. We already know you can create electricity on site using propane, and it'll be cleaner than the propane that you're going to use, it's going to be cleaner than the electricity you're going to use today, and it's going to be cleaner than the electricity you're going to use tomorrow after they spend the other billions of dollars trying to clean up the electricity.
And you know what? Please state that again, because it's such a profound statement about what propane can do now versus electricity. So hit that one more time.
Yeah. So propane is here right now, and it's already cleaner than the electricity we produce today, and it's still cleaner than the electricity they're going to produce tomorrow after they spend billions of dollars to clean up that electricity. So even after you spend all that money, propane is still going to be cleaner than what the electricity is going to be. So all this money could, we could clean up a lot of this just by using the propane that we already have, because we're exporting a ton of propane to other countries.
1.7 million barrels per day.
Do you know how many gallons that is?
No.
75 million gallons every single day are being exported out of the United States. That's more propane than the whole entire state of Utah will use in a year. And we're exporting this every single day. So we could potentially clean up a ton of emissions by switching every single school bus that ever ran, run those on propane. We still have tons of propane left over.
Save a bunch of cash.
Save a ton of cash. Clean up the emissions. Reduce the demand on the electric grid. Because with these good neighbor plans that we talked about earlier, when they had to clean up this electric grid, the logical choice would be, I'm not going to clean it up. We'll just shut that plant down. So if they got a real dirty plant that'll never be able to get to meet those new standards, they'll just shut that electric plant down. And then what'll happen?
Rates are going to go way up.
Rates are going to go up because the supply is going to come down. And it's just a traditional or standard supply and demand issue. So the supply is going to go down, demand's going up because we're artificially pumping incentives into these electrify everything.
Let's call them bribes.
And then demand and rates are going to go up. Supply is coming down. So all of a sudden, you're going to be sitting there with your big old electric school bus going, man, 5 years ago, we used to be able to charge this thing for X, and now it's four times that.
Well, it's already starting to happen. Look what's going on with Rocky Mountain Power.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain Power is proposing a 21.6% rate increase.
For Wyoming. Yeah.
For Wyoming, yeah.
21.6. That just came out in April, right? So it says starting January 1st, 2024. You're going to get a 21% increase in your electricity in Wyoming?
That doesn't make any sense. And how much coal comes out of Wyoming? The coal that goes to make the electricity.
All of it. I mean, there's so much coal in Wyoming.
So states like Oregon can say, we're so clean, we produce the cleanest energy on the planet, but we import 90% of coal, 90% of its coal that we import. But that's not us.
This is the real problem. I mean, we got rising rates for electricity, and we got rising demand that's being pushed by incentives that are taxpayer paid. And then we're going to clean up our electricity. So we got rising costs to clean it up. So in 5 years from now, you're going to be sitting there going, wow, electric rates have really gone up. But you know what? It's not going to go up. Your propane rates. If you look at the past 10 to 12, 13 years, propane prices have been extremely stable. They haven't even increased with inflation.
No, I mean, if you look at this number, this chart that you sent me, U.S. propane residential price in 1991 was about a buck. 30 plus years later, it's gone to $2.69. That's it.
And most of that went up in the 90s. So
yeah.
If you look at the last 15 years, it was really stable. It's just fluctuated right there in that $2 range, between $2 and $3 for the whole last 15 years, which is pretty amazing considering how much inflation we've had. And if you look at the electric rates, I mean, 21% this year, all you got to do is Google electric rates going up and you can see there's four or five pages of just within the last week or two of this electric rate's going up, this one's going up, this one all across the country. So if you're gonna consume a lot of electricity, you better have a backup plan. And I would suggest getting a propane power generator, maybe even producing some electricity for your business or your farm. Use propane to create that electricity that you're going to need to try to help control your prices.
That award-winning voice you're hearing, that's Mr. Tom Clark, birthday boy, executive director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. You're a smart dude.
Well,
by the way,
it is my birthday.
Happy birthday, Tom. My name is Rand DeWitt. This is the State of Energy, and we're always online at thestateofenergy.com.